Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on the 2nd of May 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Michael, Marjana, Hasim, Matt, Michael, Samad, and Pitinan. Over to you, Marjana.
Okay, Michael, you just sent us one link, but we don't have access to this document because.
Could you try again?
You didn't grant
emails and your request for access rights, so I changed the share settings. So now.
Yeah, I have just two, let's say, a few questions. How many code points you. Let me see. How many code points are there for for further investigation? That's my main question, because Bill also had some suggestions. I don't know, did you included those code points or not in the further investigation? And I wanted somehow to finish this meeting today, dividing the task. Giving the task to everyone in the group to process enough code points till the next meeting. So we should have some results about this underlining stuff. Let me see just a moment to see the document. Yeah, and I forgot what you have written. I think are those with the red, or which one should be investigated on? Michael, please help me with this.
Yes, as I already said, the red should be out, as I wrote in the email, and I changed the sharing settings, so I think that everyone should have access to the file now.
Okay.
So, try again.
So red are completed, and we have almost 99 code points, and we didn't count how many are in red. There is a lot of code points to be investigated, and I'm trying to find a way how to proceed with this.
I'm sorry, out, Michael. What does out mean?
Yes.
I mean the red.
So should I explain it?
Yes, please, Michael, please. Because not all of the people were last time we discussed this. Please give an introduction. Thank you.
So Dennis presented a list of code points, which I understand should be a short list of candidates for URL underlining analysis. Last time we had some kind of a discussion about which code points to analyze and which code points not to analyze. It was my impression that Dennis was trying to arrive at a methodology where you categorically rule out certain types of code points. So anything where the ogonek doesn't need analysis, but anything where the sedia needs analysis, those kind of principles. And there was a discussion back and forth on that during the call. So in the end, we decided that we could not decide and could not make like ad hoc and general conclusions. And so Dennis asked me to then basically make some suggestions about what we should analyze in detail and what we should not analyze. That is actually conduct the variant analysis. So I just made a copy of the file he presented, the URL underlining analysis document. And I highlighted in red everything which I don't think will need an analysis for URL underlining variant relationships. That is variant relationships on the basis of URL underlining. So I think everything which is red, we don't need to consider. But this is only my personal opinion, and I'm not trying to impose my opinion on anyone else. But I was asked to provide some kind of approach. So this is my suggestion for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, very much. Thank you for this brief and clear introduction. So, Michael has proposed, we have...
I have a question there.
Sorry?
I have a question to Michael.
Okay, okay, please go on.
So, does it mean that line three, it doesn't mean that on line three, it's clear that we need to create variants, or is it that we don't need any variants on line three either?
Michael?
I think what you're referring to, that's a mistake, that line, yes. Red means it should not, we don't need a variant analysis, but yes, you're correct, that's a mistake. So that should not be red. Let me fix that.
Allow me to suggest that it might be reasonable to have it red simply because we already decided that Macron below was going to be a variant, so we don't need to review it.
Yeah, last time we have decided that dot below and Macron below are clear-cut cases that should be treated as variants. That's something what I wrote down. But shall we be more efficient? Now, Michael proposed the list of candidates for further investigation on variants with underlining, and he just proposed something, and there is almost 100 code points there. So it will be better if all people investigate this sheet. That's just my proposal, not to go through all these code points during the meeting, and let's say till the next in the next few days, probably, I don't know, we can agree about it. We have a clear table, which should be processed further. And on Monday, for example, I'm a little bit rushing, but maybe you can always stop me. We can, because we have 100 code points, less those red ones, it should be, for example, I don't know, 80 or 70 code points, that everyone in the group should give their his or her opinion about should this code point be invariant or not. Sorry for this. Does it sound reasonable? Because we should need to add some more columns there. Should we take the same the same way of investigating those code points as we have done with previous cases with variants, or is there any other suggestion about it? That's my first question. What do you think? With this scoring system 1, 2, or whatever. We have first Mats, and after that, Michael, and after that Mats, because that's what I see on the screen. Please, Michael, go on first.
So I think we should stick to the number-based scoring we used before, and we could also use the same approach, the same practical methodology we used on cross-script variants, where we split it up on persons, like, I don't know, like everyone does like 10 code points,
for example, yeah.
And then we do two passes, so that on each code point we have two votes. And if the votes are identical or effectively identical, because 1 and 2 is automatically in.
Yeah.
Conclusion before, then we don't need to continue discussing it. If the votes show a discrepancy, then we need to discuss. Then we need to have group votes on them.
Yeah. I agree with it. It's at least it showed in during previous analysis. It was it gave results. Mats, please go on.
Yes, there is already URL underlining score. So it looks like it's already classified, or am I wrong?
I also was wondering where that came from. Since I just copied the list from Dennis. I don't know who produced that score. We should ask
I think
Dennis.
It must have been Dennis, because the rest of us haven't, at least I never was participating in a, in something like that.
No, we haven't done it. The group was not working on it. Probably it was some kind of Dennis thinking or suggestion. Or whatever, but if we forget about, I don't see this scoring system here. Yeah, there is some review, there is something in comments, but where are the scoring, where is the scoring system? I can't find it. Oh, yes.
In column G.
In column G, yeah. I'll leave it like this. That's probably was Dennis' idea to do it in that way, but we decided last time to do it again. And we shall stick to the approach we had before. And so we have two phases now. First phase should be for all participants to look at this table and see if anything is missing, or should anything be added for this investigation, because only this is important. So look at this red rows and see, do you think if any one of those red rows should be further investigating, because this is just a Michael's proposal. And let's do it in the next 4 days, something like this. It is Monday next week. And after that, I will ask Michael, for example, if you, oh, sorry. I should ask someone to volunteer, but it is best way to for me to be done it by Michael, to assign to every member of the group, let's say 10 code points in first pass and 10 code points in the second pass. And please, Michael, add those columns when we shall put our scores. And let's say in 1 week, we should have this table marked by everyone. So please, Michael, you are first. Go on, Michael, please.
I just want to suggest that we remove the previous scoring and underline scores, so not to confuse anyone, number one, and so not to actually misguide or guide someone and have like some kind of ad hoc voting. Every member should come to their own conclusion when they conduct.
Yes, yes, I agree with it. Yes,
so I would clear the line out and just double the column, yeah. So that then we have URLs underlining score vote number one and vote number two.
Okay,
and those
okay.
Are the two reviewers.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. Thank you, Michael. Bill, please.
I just want to be clear, when we're doing this review, are we only considering underlining, or are we considering other, you know, which is to say, diacritics below, or are we considering the whole universe of possible variants? I think I know what the answer is, but I just wanted to be clear on that.
My thinking is that we should finish one task by one. If we mix everything, the result will be unpredictable, or maybe it will be wrong. I will prefer personally to finish underlining now, but let's hear what the other people think.
That was what I was thinking as well, but I just wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page before we get going.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bill, for this. Mats, please go on.
I have a question for Meiko. The marking of red of some code point, what is the criteria for that?
My personal criteria was that I didn't see any potential for confusion which rises to the level of a variant candidate. But if you disagree, please comment the line, then we remove the red color, and then we just increase the shortlist we have to analyze. That's my interpretation. And secondly, as to Bill's question, it's my impression that this list was produced by Dennis. I would assume that the list is complete, but I haven't double-checked it in any way. It seems to me that this is a subtask of the whole variant process, which seems focused only on the URL underlining analysis. So basically, what we do in all of these cases is compare the glyph in that row, or the three glyphs in that row for that Unicode code point, with the same thing non-underlined, I assume, or not with any kind of modifier below, because this is where obviously underlining interferes with any modifiers below the line or near the baseline. So yes, those are my answers to these two. I hope this is helpful and clarifies it. Thank you.
Bill, please. Thank you, Michael, yes. Please.
I would say for the cases where there is no second letter, like where you have a line that says just Latin small letter A, but nothing in the target Unicode name, I could see deleting those. But for anything else, I would say we should probably do with that as we did with the URL underlining. Take the red out and just because as with that one, that was just Mikael's view on the thing, and just go include all the ones where there actually was a target available. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I think that because this table is produced first by Dennis, then Michael annotated those code points which he thinks should not be investigated further. Please look at them. You have 3 days, 4 days till Monday. And after that, because the most of the members of the group are here, we could remove red lines after that. It doesn't matter, or if they can, those red lines could stay there. But someone has to to assign tasks to everyone of the group. And Michael proposed to remove your underlining score, which was produced by Dennis, and to open few more columns for for the people in the group to give their opinion about code points. Maybe I think I understood it in that way. Michael, do you agree what I have said just said, or Bill, you have proposed to remove those red lines. Did I understand it?
Yes, ma'am.
To remove any kind of short.
I propose to remove the red lines. When there is no target Unicode name given, we can probably delete that line altogether.
Oh, you see. I see. I think it is okay for me at this moment. Michael is writing something in chat. So you basically want to remove any kind of shortlisting. That would make my personal suggestion of shortlisting code points obsolete. Right. No, Michael, he's proposing to remove just those code points which he has not targeted, a target code point for investigation. Not your shortlist.
So it's all fine by me. We can use any kind of approach. I tried to come up with a shortlisting because I was asked so specifically by Dennis last time.
Yeah. Okay. So okay.
We can change the approach in any kind of fashion the group wishes to. Thank you.
I think Bill is proposing to remove this code points which does not have a target glyph. But this is not so important. Just the list will be a little bit shorter. I don't know. What is the opinion of the group? I don't mind. I don't see that if we remove those red lines, which, as Bill proposed, we shall just have. Have a shorter leeway, confuse or give us less good results than if those red those lines stay in the list. But Mats, please go on. Mats. Just open the unmute your phone, your mic. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, I think that the work will be more consistent if we don't have the pre-marked red lines. And I think it's, I mean, the ones where there is no target glyph, it's kind of meaningless because then we have nothing to compare with anyway. So those could be removed as Bill suggests. And I think it's not that many to extra to work with. So I think it's better to just start the work instead.
Oh, you mean, we should get the results faster than we investigate again the list. Okay, I don't mind what the other people think. Michael, please go on.
Thank you. So just for the record, I'm fine with going through this list one by one, but it was Dennis's suggestion, and he was quite adamant about it the last time, that we should find a way to shortlist things and make decisions in bulk rather than by one by one on a code by code, on a code point by code point basis, because he thought it would take too much time. Personally, I also think that we are losing more time on discussing the actual approach and the methodology than doing the analysis itself. But whatever the group decides, you just say what you guys want, and then we do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Hazem, please.
Yes, I'm just not sure if I understand what we are looking for. So, can you explain what we should be looking for at the end on this table?
Should I explain that?
Please, Michael, go on. Thank you.
So, very simple. It's the same exercise we did with the variant analysis for cross-crypt variants. So we have a code point, and the code point usually has some kind of modifier. So for example, in the second row, we have Latin small letter A, and then come all kind of variants of letter A, which have some kind of modifier below the line. And then in columns D, E, F, you have glyphs of those respective code points in three different fonts with the underlining. So what you should say is you should take a look at those three code points and think if they're confusable with anything else. So for example, if you have the fifth row, you have a Latin small letter A with brev and dot below. Now the brev is a dot if it's above the character. So there is not much room for confusion about that because of the underlining. But the underlining overlaps with the dot below. So the question is, do you think that the three glyphs shown here with the underlining are confusable with, for example, A with only a brev above and not a dot below? And this is also given as a target glyph on the right in column I, as in Islington or something. So this is basically the idea. I wouldn't absolutely rely on the target glyph given in the column I, but the general idea is just, if you see the underlining, does it overlap with something which opens room for confusion with a specific other code point? That's my understanding of the task. Thank you.
Okay, it's mainly specific to the underlining.
Yeah.
If it's confusable with another glyph or with underline.
Hazem, do you, Bill, please go on.
Yeah, just in the interest of saving time, I think we could also drop the cases where there is a dot below or a macron below, because we've already settled decided that as a general. That would save us a little bit more time.
Yes, dot below and macron below, we agreed last time to be variants of the same glyph without dot below and macron below. So what is final proposal? Bill, your hand is still up.
Sorry, forgot to lower it.
It's okay. It's okay. Thank you. We have discussed a lot of things now, and we should somehow narrow our discussion and decide how to proceed. As I can see here, from this table, first we can exclude all code points with dot below and macron below, because we decided that those code points should be treated as variants. That's one thing. The second thing is, we have discussed, should we remove or lines where we don't have a target glyph, and we should decide now, should we do it or not, because the list will be shorter. Mats, please go on.
I forget to unmute. Yes. There are on lines 31 through 35, there is no target glyph, and still there is an URL underlining score, and I find these, I don't know how they should be treated.
Mats, we have decided to remove underlining score. To remove this column first. So please do not look at this.
Yes, but there is no target glyph there, and it's not marked as red, is the target glyph has it disappeared or?
No, it is because Dennis insisted to include G and Q in the discussion, because it was thought before that it might also be a confusion if we could we confuse those code points with something else, because they are underlined. You see, those are G and Q's probably, as I can. G
will probably. Yes, but there is no target code point. That's why I'm.
I don't know where it. I was confused with this because G and Q underlined or not underlined should be treated. I can understand that those are those glyphs underlined, but probably someone sometimes rose the question that those code points should be investigated on. Further.
Okay.
That's my explanation. That's how I remember what we discussed before. Michael, please.
Michael. Yes, maybe I can clarify Matt's question. I think we just put all characters there which had something below the baseline, and these included G's and Q's. That's why they are there. But then later on, we decided that G's and Q's are out, and we don't have to consider them because the target code point would be something like an A or something like that. So we just said that we won't have those as variants, and that's probably why Dennis put a 3 in here and said there is no target and there shouldn't be variants.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Michael. My first proposal is the first thing we should do, remove dot below and macron below, because they will be variants. The second one is to make this list smaller, to remove all code points where there is no target glyph. Do we agree on it or not? Shall we vote about it? What is your opinion? Yeah, people are voting. Please vote. Should we remove?
What is being voted on? Could you please try?
It is voted on, should we remove from this list all lines where there is no target glyph? Because we don't know how to deal with it. There is no sense to have all of them here. At least I think so. Yeah, people are not, Michael does not like to remove it. Please, Michael, explain us why you don't want to remove it, because maybe we are wrong.
So I don't understand why a code point which has no suggested target glyph should be removed from the list, because in some ad hoc analysis by a single person, whoever created that list, potentially Dennis or whoever, nothing came to mind, doesn't mean that there can't be a code point which is in a potential variant relationship with a scene. And this we will determine when we look at the actual glyph. So for example, in the case of this discussed just now, what was it? E with a macron above and underlined. I think that it's confusable, at least in courier form, with a Q with a macron below above. I'm not sure if that is in repertoire, but it's certainly confusable with it in the courier form. So I don't know why there is no target glyph, but honestly, I don't care. So that's my view on that matter. Thank you.
But it's okay, but something is not clear to me. If you have a suggestion to which code point this G with underline could be confused, please put the target glyph inside, because I have no idea.
Me neither, Mariana, but I didn't create the list. So I didn't create those target glyphs. I only copied the list from Dennis. But yes. I already putting a single target glyphs flattens the issue in a not very useful way, because there could be several potential target glyphs. So I would ignore the target glyph situation. I would just, for me that doesn't bear any importance or relevance. Thank you.
But what, Michael, please, because now it is not clear to me, what should we do in the future? How should we approach to this problem? We should find some way to narrow the problem. So
I could explain what I explained earlier. So in my personal view, I think we look at the 3 glyphs in each row.
Okay.
And we, decide whether it is comparable to anything else, and in particular, anything without the underline. Is that too complex?
That's clear, but I don't know how to proceed with it, because you see one thing, the other people see the other thing. I don't see anything, for example. And how should we go further on? You understand my problem. With those lines where we have code points, a glyph, code points in three different fonts, and we have a target glyph in three different fonts, we can see, yeah, it is the same or almost the same, but what should we do with this empty, these lines with empty colon with target glyph?
So in my personal opinion, the structure of this table is suggestive in itself, and it suggests simple solutions where there are not necessarily simple solutions. So when, for example, one reviewer looks at the three glyphs and there is no target glyph, then I think the reviewer, if the reviewer believes that there is a target glyph which forms a variant relationship, so for example, Q with a Macron above, I think, was it, right? The example we just discussed. Then that person should insert the code point for that target code point into that target code point column, and therefore in those columns to the right. But there is the potential that there will be more than one code point. If that is the case, we would have to double the line and copy the row and have basically a variant relationship with two different code points. And then you have a clear vote on the variant relationship and on what the variant relationship relates to.
Okay, but we have here we have two different cases. We have lines where we have target glyph, and those one could be processed as we have done before when we were producing cross-script variants. And this is a clear procedure, those one. But the procedure without target glyphs should be, the procedure with code points with target glyph not present here should be investigating in a different way. I mean, we can split this sheet in two sheets. One where we have target glyphs and the other one we don't have target glyphs. And after that, those one with target glyphs should be processed as we have done it before, because it is clear to everyone what someone should look and what is his or her impression, what mark to give to this situation. And the other one, we should develop somehow the procedure how to proceed with those glyphs, because those are not the same situations. I mean, the first one is clear. The second one mainly depends on the view of the person who is reviewing this. So probably all people in this group should review these code points. And after that, we could give some result. That's how I was thinking. Michael, please go on.
If you think it's helpful, we can split it up in that fashion.
It would be more efficient. It would be more efficient because those are not the same procedures processing those. We have two different situations and they should be processed in a different way.
For me, it's the same because it's irrelevant whether there's a target glyph or not. Because when you see the glyph under comparison, you automatically have an association, something like, this looks like X, this looks like Y.
Michael, because it looks to you, but it doesn't look to me. And that's why I insist to divide those two lists, and we shall have one clear cut list where we can give marks as we have been there before. What, for example, if I get to investigate it, those Q's and G's, and I don't see anything confusable. It's not confusable for me, for example, or might be, I don't know.
This
it should be investigated by more people than just one to propose which code point should be target.
But this is our methodology, right? We decided that we proceed in the same way as in the cross-group code points, which yes. automatically means we have two votes by two people on each code point, right?
And both people didn't see anything, and the third people see it is there is a similarity somehow. I don't think they are the same, but what the group thinks. Let's hear. Mats, please. Mats.
Yes. I mean, if we don't have a target, we have nothing to compare with. So we could leave those without target and keep it open for anyone to propose a target glyph. And if we find no target glyph, then it's automatically ruled out.
Okay, what the other people think?
I think it's a workable approach.
Okay, I don't mind if everyone agrees.
Yes, I agree as well.
Okay, so we shall leave the whole table as it is. We shall remove red lines. Every code point will be investigated in the same way. The lines where there is no target glyph should be left, and if someone sees that there is similarity with some other code points, this person should put the target glyph and as many target glyphs as it is necessary for the specific code point. And at least we shall have some clear marks at the end of this process. So let me repeat again. Remove all red lines, leave the list as it is, and please, Michael, will you be so kind to divide, to put the names of the people into different columns for first review and second review of those code points. And when Michael send the link to this list, please be as quick as possible to do your reviewing. Am I right or wrong? Please tell me. Bill is okay. Mats is okay. Okay. Michael, is it okay with you? Okay. So, at least we have an agreement how to proceed with this. So when Michael gives us the new version of, and please remove URL underscoring column for people not to be confused, because those list will be is produced by Dennis, and Dennis will have it, so there is no need. We are trying to improve the list for the people to be easier for score the. So that's it. And because there is almost 100 code points, everyone should investigate, let's say, 12, 15 code points. It is not a big deal. I think so. So we shall have probably the results till the next meeting. Please find time and do the scoring in the next 7 days. Okay, that was the first. Michael, you are working on the table, so table will be ready, and if you find a red line, please look at it like it is not red. So everything is going, every code point should be investigated. So what is there any other, thoughts about this, or should we conclude this action item? I see no hands, so please, Pitinan, will you give us back our agenda for today?
Okay.
Thank you. So that was the first item in our agenda, and it was up to now, it was pretty complicated. I will further write down what we have agreed for the next time. Second action item from previous call was create clear guidance. I think some of these action items has been finished. I just want to clear them up from this list, but I need your help for this because I was not included in producing the necessary text in the report. So I want with you to discuss everything of this and clear probably some of these action items which are stated here. Create clear guidance for a variant definition that can be used as reference into the proposal. I've seen that something was written there, and it was it the people who are please Michael, go on because you are best informed about this.
Thank you. So if I remember correctly, the idea was that while we were in Brussels last time, we found that there wasn't quite agreement on if and how our approach was reflected by our principles. So I had written something in the principles section of the variant section of the document, and people had asked to have it kind of reflect more on our actual approach. So I tried to write some theory regarding the way we look at things from my understanding. Dennis and other people thought that it was not adequate or not sufficient as it is. So my suggestion was that people read through that section and make specific comments, and then we can see what needs to be changed.
Okay.
If you read through it and you find anything unclear, or you find anything which does not, in your eyes, represent the way we look at things or the way we analyze things, then you should just leave a comment, and then we can change the text. But there is already something in the document, in the proposal itself. So this is my suggestion. And this has been kind of dormant since Brussels meeting, and I'm still waiting for people to read through that and make specific suggestions what needs changes. Because in my eyes, it's fine. But it's not surprising because I was the one who drafted it originally.
Yeah, so, I agree with you. I agree with you because I was reading this part you put in the report. And it was, for me, it was okay. But I saw some discussion about it without any conclusion till the end. So please, I will review again the report and ask all those people who had some comments and didn't made suggestions to, I will ask them to read it again and give their suggestions so we can say this thing is finished. Okay.
We're talking about a specific section, right? Not the
whole. About guidelines for variant definition that can be used as a reference in the proposal. I saw maybe Dennis is not here, so I will just ask those people who commented to review the comments and say what they have to say or add something or propose something. Not because I also feel that it is somehow in the clouds. It is not, those comments are not, I didn't understand them and I don't know what was the people was thinking about it. So I just wanted to see that it should be done somehow. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for this. Your discussion is, I understand the situation in the report as you just presented us before a few minutes. So I will ask people to give their suggestions. We have action item three. So action item one is in progress and we are progressing with it. The second one, I will ask for input from those people who commented this. We have the third action item is review based character analysis per assignment, finish reviewing previous work. We have done it. I suppose so. But only thing which I need, and because I didn't keep track very, very, very tidy, please look at the end of this agenda, and you will find I was mixing things. Yeah, the InScript analysis on visual ground homework from February. I found three attachments. And I don't know, is everything finished and is everything incorporated in the report? But probably you don't, Michael, you might have some information, please.
Sorry, there was an old hand. I don't know what's being discussed right now and what you're referencing.
The things became complicated to me, and I didn't keep track of everything what we have done. And I just wanted to be sure that all our analysis of InScript analysis on visual ground is incorporated in the report. That was my question. Do you have any information about it, or should I ask Dennis about it?
So my understanding is that we have a methodology for InScript analysis.
Yeah.
We don't have a workflow. And we haven't conducted the analysis.
We haven't done the analysis.
On visual grounds, no. We have started working on the analysis on the basis of non-visual similarity.
Okay.
But we haven't worked on InScript visual
analysis. We haven't done it.
My understanding is no.
Okay. Okay.
I have the same understanding that we have not started on that yet.
And please help me to understand, because I'm a little bit confused. I have, for example, open E analysis, something. I have done it those days. And Hazem has produced some analysis. We are, okay. Visual analysis has not been started yet.
I don't know what these files are. I know that Bill produced some shortlists for things he considered useful for us to basically build our actual workflow on, but I don't remember these documents. They've been circulated quite some time ago.
And yeah,
it seems Mats, from what I see in the chat room, also agrees that this is something we haven't started on as of yet.
Okay. I'll try to find to understand what was this. So sorry. Let's go back, Pitinen, to these action items. Maybe we can remove some of them there. Review base character analysis per assignment. What was this? Can someone help me to understand this?
Miljana?
Yeah, please.
Those three files that you list, the PDF files.
Yeah.
Where are they?
They have been sent by email, and I have them somewhere here on my computer. We don't have links of it. They have been sent as PDF files in mail, and I collected it browsing through and investigating the mail.
So what about Dropbox? Are they there?
No, they are not. But I can put them in the Dropbox.
I think that we should have, it's kind of confusing when we don't have things.
Yeah, we can't see them.
Sorry, this is Bettina here. I'd like to put myself.
Please, Bettina. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, as a host, I think I cannot raise hand, so I have to cut in like.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, basically, this is one of the three files. This is the OpenE analysis from Marjana. So somehow this set has been circulated in PDF. I have three files. I can send to you all again after the meetings. And if it's useful to convert this into Google Doc to have the links for easy access, I can do that as well. Just let me know. Mikkel, that's all for Mikkel. Me.
Thank you. I just want to say, if this is one of the three files you were referencing, this is unrelated, because this is a subpart of the non-visual analysis.
Okay.
This is where you actually compare OpenE to regular E or whatever you want to call those letters. So this is kind of like the base character analysis.
Yeah, it is called base character analysis, but I was confused about it. What does it mean?
That's a subpart of the non-visual analysis.
Okay.
Where we compare only...
And we have finished... Characters. And we have finished it, and I will drop this, and...
I don't know if we finished it. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. So I will leave it for now. I just drop it from the action items, nothing else. But it is non-visual analysis. Okay. Three, non-visual.
I would be interested what the status is on items 4 and 5.
Yeah, we are
going. Had the chance to add anything to the proposal about this, or if he doesn't feel like doing it, then we should like take some work off his shoulders and like redistribute it somehow and see about that. I only remember the email circulated by you.
Yes, the mail was circulated, and Mikkel put something in the report, because I remember that I've seen the discussion Mikkel had with three German CCTLD managers, and there is some results over there. Mikkel, please, could you? It is finished somehow, but I just wanted to. It seems to me that it is finished, but I wanted to. Say it loudly. Please, Mikkel, go on.
Yes, I wrote down my report into our document. There were a few comments from some people, and I re-commented on some of the comments, and that's the way it is right now. There's been no decision, so maybe I don't know how to go on with it, just leave it the way it is, or should it be changed, or should someone have the authority to change it? Should we vote on it? Should we go through it together?
Yeah, because I have first Mikkel, then Bill. Mikkel, please.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. Now I'm a member. So I remember reading through the section and commenting on some things, and yes, I also remember there were some comments where there were replies again. So clearly on those things, we haven't resolved them. So I would suggest adding it to the agenda, for example, for the next teleconference call, and going through the comments one by one, discussing the paragraph commented in the group, and then taking a group decision on how we should proceed on those issues. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's okay. Bill, please.
Yes, I would say we can drop these two action items and then, as Miguel said, these are one of the places where the report is going to need some discussion, and so I would put that as a new action item, whether we decide we need to do that immediately or whether we're going to do that as we once we've gotten some of the other variant stuff done. But I think these two as action items can simply be dropped at this point. We've done, Michael has done them.
Yeah, Michael has done his part of his part, and we shall just make an agreement about the report about the report which is written in the report number 5. So I will add remove those two and add just the discussion about things which are written written in the report. Okay, I just send you, we are on the top of the hour, so please, I've just sent a proposal how the test label data set should look. That's my view of the test label data set, looking at some examples produced by the previous, by the other generation panels. So please look at it and we shall discuss it next time. And if there is anything else to, my proposal is that we shall meet next year's results about this underlining initiative, underlining investigation. And if there is no other things to be discussed, I will stop here. And is there no hands up? So so I will close the today meeting and thank you all to be present to this meeting. There is a lot of fuzzy things, I mean, unclear things to be done in the future, but we shall deal with it with success, I hope so. Thank you all to be present at this meeting and hear you next Thursday again. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.